Hakim took a deep breath and began. "Hello," he said gently, unthreateningly into the microphone, as if trying to entice a shy squirrel to take a nut from his hand. "For those of you expecting a different presenter right now," he continued in nearly perfect English, with a gracious Hollywood smile, "I want you to know we've arranged for a surprise this year. But you won't consider this a good surprise," he added, his tone still pleasant. "But here is the key. If everyone remains calm, remains seated, everyone will get through this." There was a low rumble from the crowd, and hundreds of glances were exchanged throughout the theater, as everyone tried to gauge the reaction of others to the incongruity of these words. If this was a practical joke, the audience wasn't sure it was funny. Fixed cameras were scattered throughout the auditorium, stage, and even orchestra pit, with the director and his team in a separate facility nearby, surrounded by endless feeds and electronics. Four men were also in the aisles with handheld network cameras, racing around like track athletes to get the best close-ups of stars in their seats. "To director Sebastian Cole, and those of you filming and broadcasting these proceedings," continued Hakim, "I'll need you to continue to do so. All of our lives depend on it." He paused to let this sink in, but only for a second. "Our lives also depend on everyone remaining calm, quiet, and in your seats," he added evenly into the microphone, and his voice boomed from 240 speakers, an unnecessary overkill designed to one-up the Dolby Theater and its own excessive sound system. So far, so good, thought Hakim. The crowd was squirming, troubled, and confused, but they had not panicked. Now that they were somewhat braced and forewarned, he waved a hand, and his six colleagues, all in black tuxes like his own, rushed onto the stage from the wings, their KH-2002 machine guns held out in front of them and pointed toward the ocean of humanity seated in the auditorium. Most in the audience blanched, and some looked as if they were about to vomit. But there were a few vapid faces who Hakim could have sworn were waiting for this to be revealed as a tasteless, practical joke. Waiting for the seven terrorists to break into a dance number, sort of a terrorist version of Springtime for Hitler. Hakim's demeanor visibly darkened, a charming Satan suddenly sprouting horns. "We are Islamic Jihad," he hissed. "And we now own this theater, and all of you." The crowd chatter grew to a roar, and numerous people rose. "Sit down and shut up," shouted Hakim, and the speakers delivered his roar as though God himself had issued this demand. At Hakim's nod, Sharif Ismail shot a burst from his assault rifle into the ceiling. As plaster rained down, the reality of the situation became clear, and the entire auditorium was cowed into silence, rapidly retaking their seats as ordered. Another of Hakim's men sent a digital command through his phone, and the floor of the stage zipped along hidden tracks and trapped dozens of musicians inside their soundproof pit. "This theater has been completely sealed," continued Hakim, his voice no longer either pleasant or heated, but rather icy cold, measured, and in command. "All exits have been locked down, including the two in the orchestra pit behind me. There is no way out unless we let you out." After they had chewed on this for a moment, he continued, "In addition, we've mined this entire structure. Powerful explosives are part of the walls, floor, and ceiling, enough to turn this theater into a fireball that will light up the entire city, killing every one of you." He raised his eyebrows. "And every one of us." Hakim paused, and then, with a dramatic flourish, added, "But we are fully prepared to die. Can you say the same? If not, or if you don't want to be responsible for 4,000 deaths, you will remain calm and silent. Here are the rules. All who are here, and those watching on TV, need to listen very carefully.